是。
Is your work gentleman, are you the painter?
Yes, sir. Well, you know, the painter for this one. Yes, sir, this one I'm prepared to be for this one.
So this is James Johnson. Because he had two Johnsons. By absolute discharge.
Yes.
Johnson, they have us to do all this paperwork and then we'll be ready to move forward. Well, first of all, sir, would you be willing to state your name, and if you remember your ADC number, that if you don't remember, don't worry about that. We will insert that in ourselves. So what is your name, sir?
James Johnson.
And do you remember your ADC number when you were incarcerated?
I'll never forget it.
You'll never forget it. So what is it, sir?
034559.
You got it correct. Hey, you start off by getting an A. Thank you so very much. And welcome to the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. We have, the board has an application from you for absolute discharge. And I believe I support 1211, and the board is prepared to talk with you with what has been taking place since you've been out. We do take note just for the record, and some things we just put in just for the record, that originally the incident offense was murder in the second degree, which was a 20-year to life, and that offense started back on November 1975, and became parole eligible in November 1974. He also had a theft which was 14 years, I believe, and of course all of that is behind him, but we just like to go on record and let everybody know what was going on. Of course, when he was released, the board had some special conditions: no alcohol, no contact with victim or family, available program to be taken, tests for drugs and alcohol, so forth, and to pay restitution. Have you been able to pay any restitution yet, sir?
No, I'm at the church on the street.
You own church on the street, though. Well, you're not making any money. And that's the next thing I'm going to say. You are housed at the church on the street, and being at the church on the street, I believe that you are your kitchen supervisor, and you prepare 10,000 meals a week. Is that correct, sir?
Yes, sir.
So how long have you been preparing all these meals, supervising all these meals, sir?
Ever since I've been there.
Ever since you've been there, yes, sir. Well, we're glad to hear that you are. And so where are you in terms, as my recollection, and I didn't do my homework on this one, but with church on the streets, you have initially a 6-month program, and then you move to another one. So where are you, sir, in terms of their programming, sir? Or do you know at this time, sir?
Well, I'm a staff member
there. You're a staff member? Okay, yeah. So you're a staff member. Well, you're not one of them. Okay, so you're working.
I'm working.
You're employed. Yeah. Well, sir, well, we're glad to know that you're employed. Yes, sir. So how's church on the street? Another good program, sir? I mean, you said you're employed there. I guess that's an unfair question again. I just like to ask these unfair questions.
It's the best program I know. I've been there pretty much 4 years.
Okay.
And I like about them because they give everybody a second chance, no matter what you done done in life. They qualified to give you a chance in life to let people know that you can be an outstanding citizen.
Okay, sir. And so because of your experience in the correction department, are you able to help incoming inmates or new inmates? Are you able to give them advice and help them to be
Supervise successful? When they come into the kitchen and give them the job that they need to do. And the stuff that I learned in the kitchenette for the Department of Correction is the way I do for the church on the street.
And how long have you been in supervising there in the kitchen, sir?
About a year and a half.
Oh, okay. So, you're making progress. I do take note, just for information, that you family, you listed three brothers and sisters. One sister, I believe, was murdered, and we do have present today, I believe, your parole officer. I use it plural because I know that we have one, and I think that another one is here, just in case. I think that you have both of them here today. We also take note that and we do have the report from the parole officers. And okay, you've been out now for 4 years, and I think that all board members had an opportunity to read the pre-sentence report, which dates back to November 16, 1974, when this incident took place, and there was an accident, and the victim was hit across the, with a bumper jack, and ended up being pronounced dead at the hospital. But now we want to talk about where you are now and why this board would even want to consider moving you to absolute discharge. As you know, that's one of the highest bars that this board has the opportunity to offer without the consent of the governor, is to give you absolute discharge. And so you're not on home arrest, you're not on supervision, but you want absolute discharge. Why do you want absolute discharge? And what do you feel that might qualify you to receive absolute discharge, sir?
Well, whether I'm on absolute discharge or still on parole, it really doesn't matter, but I felt that it was something that I could put in for and I was looking forward to getting it. Whether it's I make it or not, I'm still free. And I appreciate y'all giving me the opportunity to show you that I am the man that can be an outstanding citizen, whether I'm on parole or off parole. I'll never go back to the Adams State Prison.
I just want to ask this because we can't compare one person with another person, but is there anything that you want to do in particular if you were on absolute discharge? And I just raised that because we had a gentleman come in here the other week, and he said that if he got absolute discharge, that he was going to Alaska or somewhere, he was just going to travel. Anything in particular you want to do if you got absolute discharge that you can't do now, sir?
Well, first of all, I can't do no extensive travel because I don't have the money. But
you might win the lottery. I'm not suggesting that, sir.
I know, but I got to tell you, we don't do that at the, yes, at the church on the street.
Yes, sir.
But I would like to go see my brother and sister in Vegas. I got a brother and sister in Vegas. Only time I'd be able to see them is when they come down.
Okay, sir.
And if that's the best answer I got. But if I got to stay on parole, it doesn't make no difference. I'm still free. And I enjoy my freedom.
We'd like to know that you're a very positive, person, and we do commend you for that. But just for the record, I would point out the fact that the board did receive this letter from the Maricopa County Attorney's Office, which is opposing absolute discharge. And just want you to know that we do have that letter. Now, the thing that I think that I want you to explain, I won't say it even concerns me, but I want you to explain, and then your parole officer might want to elaborate further on it. And this was what happened back on September 11th of this year with that UA, which was positive for methamphetamine, and you said that you challenged that. You said that you had not used methamphetamine. My words now, but what happened there?
Okay, I'm going to tell you, I didn't tell nobody, but a person had come into the church on the street, had some dope in his pocket, and I took it, and I didn't know I wasn't supposed to touch it, and it got in my skin, and I didn't tell nobody, and I threw it away.
So it got in your skin, and you threw it away, and then you...
I threw it away.
Yeah. Then you had to do a UA.
Yeah, the day that I threw it away, and it was in my skin, I didn't know that.
You didn't recognize the fact that that was methamphetamine?
No, I didn't know. I haven't never did no meth. I used to do crack cocaine.
And I do take note, if I saw it in the your parole officer can correct me if I'm wrong, I believe that with all the other UAs, all your other UAs were negative except for that one.
Yes, for that. But I didn't tell nobody what I had did, but that's how it got in my system. I don't do no more drugs, but I didn't tell nobody. A person had gave me some drugs to throw away from them when they had just come into the place.
I just have to ask, because we have to make informed decisions. Did you know the person who gave you the...
No.
Just someone, was he a new person?
He was a new arrival.
He was a new arrival, and so he saw you and just
right.
Had
that. Right, he had that in his pocket, and I asked him. I didn't know what it was, because I'm used to crack cocaine, not no methamphetamine. And he gave it to me, and the day that he gave it to me, I touched it, and I had to go take it away the same day. Okay. That's how I got it in my system. I just didn't tell nobody.
Okay, sir. And other than that, how's everything been going with you the 4 years since you've been out, sir?
You know what? It's been real good. I enjoy my freedom. I enjoy helping people. I learned how to love people. I don't have an anger problem no more. And I love serving God.
So you've been able to master the anger problem. I think that was one of the questions, my recollection, that the board may have raised with you at some point in the past. But now you're able to say to this board that you have anger management, and that's not a problem anymore.
No, I deal with all kind of people in the kitchen. I done had people call me everything for the child, everything except for the child of God. I even had a person that called me the P word.
The what word?
The P word. The punk word.
I'll bring that up in the
A little lighter than I expected.
Yeah. Okay, sir.
That's an old school word.
It's an old school word, yeah. But I know how to manage myself. And I couldn't manage myself if it wasn't for Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir. Now, let me ask another question. I think that, I don't know the exact date, but I think we talked about it before. Now, you mentioned cocaine, crack cocaine. When the last time you actually used the crack cocaine, sir?
The last time I used crack cocaine, it's been a while. I said, the last time I went, I think it was 2005. The last time I went to the, I got the dirty UA. I went back to prison. I think it was 2005 or 2006. Because every time I get a 30 UA and I get violated, I go back for 5 to 6 years. So I haven't smoked no more crack cocaine since then, and don't want to smoke no more.
That would have been about 12 years ago. That's the last time that you actually crack cocaine. Okay, sir. Okay, sir, I do, before we go to your parole officers, I do note that you do have a number of supporters in the room. I believe there are 4 supporters, and I don't know whether any of them want to speak or not. I want to give them this opportunity. So just have a seat up here, sir, and let me see if any, you don't have to go back there. Just have a seat right there. Either one of you want to speak on behalf of Mr. Johnson? I have your list, so you can just give your name when you get up here, sir.
Walter Trey.
And welcome, sir, and appreciate you being here. And what do you want to tell the board today, sir?
I'm glad I have an opportunity to get behind JJ. He's been quite enthusiastic, growing, and I think that's possibly why he wants to be totally free. He just feels like, you know, if there's some encumbrances, I want to try to go as far as I can. What excites me is, of course, we're Christians, and we've got our home on Grand Avenue. And every morning, we're out there with signs. I don't know if you've seen us coming up in the morning, Grand Avenue. And we preach out there, we carry crosses. And he comes out every Tuesday morning and he preaches for a half hour to cars. And it's just so exciting just to see how he's able to believe in this. Very, very faithful every week. And of course, very difficult in the kitchen. Because everybody's, you know, don't want the food now, and then we've got to keep up with all the requirements, the state and so forth. And he's always been there, and we're talking about 4 years. And he's just a blessing. I'm more than happy to stand up here for him. I'm not saying he's perfect, but it's neat just to watch him grow and the excitement. Now he's got new purpose, new hope, new life. And I just been doing this for 41 years, and it's exciting to me just to see. We got a lot of guys come out of prison as young men, and he's a good example for everybody. He encourages people, and he's very, very good to speak. I don't know what else to say other than I'm behind him. Thank you
so much, Pastor Walt. Any questions for the pastor? Okay, we don't see any questions. Thank you so much for coming today, sir. And you do have a great program there, Church on the Street. We're familiar with it, but you're doing a great job, sir. Thank you. Anyone else wishes to come forward?
Good morning.
Good morning, sir. Would you state your name for the record?
My name is Alan Johnson. I'm James Younger's brother.
Okay, thanks, and welcome to the board, sir. And what do you want to tell the board this morning, sir?
First of all, I want to tell my brother that I love him, and he's doing a real good job of turning his life around. He has made significant progress through the Word of God that would strengthen him. I've been a deacon for over 10, 15 years at my church now.
Where is your church? What is your church?
My church is St. Paul Baptist. It's our family history church. Okay. I had an uncle that's 95 and still Deacon Emeritus there.
Okay. Please go ahead, sir. I just ask.
And just the positive and the change in his life, and I just want to be behind him to want to be a full citizen again. You know what I'm saying? It was a big change. We fought to get him out, was behind him over 30 years to become a free man, and he was like David. It was his sin and his sin alone. But now he has changed his life and he's promoting God, and I just want to be right there behind him because he's doing a very good job promoting God and God's work. And he's living to those standards too. And that's what makes me proud and makes me want to be a better deacon myself because of how he changed his life. And God is just that powerful. If you turn everything over to your life with God, he can change anything. I've been on drugs before and all of that too. And I just didn't get in trouble like him. Thanks to the mercy of God that I didn't. You know what I'm saying? And he's on the right foot. So I can understand him because I really have a brother and sister in Vegas, and me and my big brother, we wanted to take him to Vegas to see places that he hasn't never been in life. Give him an opportunity to experience life sometime, you know what I'm saying? I know we're old and but I want to do it before we get two people. Yes.
Okay, well, thank you so much, sir. You got a long ways to go before you get old, but thank you, sir.
68 old?
Thank you, Deacon. Any questions for the deacon? No questions for the deacon. Anybody else going to come forward? Okay, please. Good morning, sir. Would you state your name for the record, sir?
I'm Willie Johnson.
Yes, sir, Mr. Johnson.
I'm the oldest of the 10 of us.
Okay.
I'm 70 years old, and by the grace of God, I'm still working. I've been coming in for 30 years now, working with James, what have you. And don't get me wrong, I'm just like you guys, you understand me? I thought we was under the pressure coming here to get him off of the lifetime parole and to the general parole. So this is but I'm not going to stop him from what he's trying to do, because I also believe in my father too, you understand me? And I know that he can do anything, because I've seen the way from when James first went to prison. From the first time, I've been taking care of James for the 30 years that he's been in prison, what have you. And I've gradually seen that change from him. When he first got to prison, and mind you, I've been in prison too, but it took me one time. And I asked the Lord, if you get me out of here, Lord, this one, I haven't seen enough, I won't be back. And I never went back, but I knew what prison was like. So when James first got to prison, I knew I couldn't tell him, hey, James, do this and do that, because you have to live according to that prison rule the way things are to survive in there, you know. But as he went on and on through prison, you understand me, finally, he come to me one day and said, you know what, June is what they call me, Junior. They call me June. You know what? I was just thinking. He said, you know what? I didn't know how to talk to him at first, because I know he had to do the prison life, you know. He said, I just been thinking, you know what? It's been God, do you understand me, that took care of me all through this. Then I was able to talk to him. Then I could come to him and say, well, brother, you need to do this and you need to do that, do you understand me? But to make a long story short, we finally got him out, do you understand, by the grace of God, do you understand me? And now he's been with church on the street. I met Pastor Walt and his friend over there and what have you. I've been to a couple of church sermons with Sundays with him and everything. And like I say, I thought he was coming to get off the lifetime parole, but you know, he talking about getting off, period, you know, but I'm not gonna question that. Anyway, I'm just happy and I'm satisfied after 30 years. You understand me? I don't have to worry about him anymore. He's in the right hands now. I thank God every day for bringing him, taking care of him while he was there. Now he's out, and now I don't worry, you know. Mom and Dad is gone, you understand me? But I'm happy with where he's at now. So whatever you folks decide is okay with me, because I know he's in God's hand now. It's all up to the Lord. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mr. Johnson. Any questions for Mr. Johnson?
Nope.
No questions. I don't see any questions. Thank you so much, sir. Okay. Anyone else wants to come forward? Yes, sir. Please come forward. Would you state your name for the record, sir?
My name is David Torres.
What do you want to tell the board this morning, sir?
I would just like to say that I'm really proud of James. You know, I've known him for four, I've probably known him longer than that. Probably did some prison time together, but it's been a long time since I've been out, probably 15 years. But I got the honor to work with him this last 4 years and to see how God has changed his life. You know, to do 30 some years in prison, you come out hard-hearted, races, you know, you don't want to be around other races and all that. We're actually best friends. That right there speaks a lot, you know, to see how God has changed the both of us, you know, to love one another, to be able to go out into society and do outreaches and help people. He goes with me to care centers to just go visit the sick people. We do an outreach on Saturday also. We've been doing that for 4 years, faithfully. And he's always there to come out and to give a hand whenever it's needed. You know, just the accountability administrator for Church on the Street. And sometimes I need help. And we talk about some of the stuff that goes on, and I've asked him to come and help, you know, to be part of the board, to learn the other side of the disciplinary, not always being disciplined, but how disciplinary gets handed out. because, you know, it's needed, but he's learning all these things, the wrong side and the right side, and all the consequences, and he's always willing to learn to better his life. And that really amazes me how he's changed so much. You know, I knew about this drug test that happened, and I believed what he told me. I believed it. You know, because I know what meth does to you. I've seen people on meth. I would notice. I would know because I'm around him every day. Every single day. First thing I would say is, James, are you high? And he would tell me, he's a really honest guy. So I believe him. I wouldn't even have him on my board, on our board, if I thought that was a question. You know what I mean? But I just want to say that I'm really proud of him, and he is doing a good job. He is. That's all I have to say.
Thank you so very much. Any questions? There are no questions from board members. Thank you so very much, sir.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, we have a couple of distinguished members from Department of Corrections officers who are here, so I don't know which one or both wishes to come forward first. So, Officer Probe, if you would come forward, sir, and state your name just for the record, sir.
Good morning. Patrick Pope, parole officer.
Yes, sir.
I was kind of surprised. I was here for the earlier hearing and heard that James Johnson was having a hearing today, too. I was totally unaware of that. I supervised James while he was on home arrest for approximately a year, year and a half before he was granted general parole. I'm just basically speaking on based on my information, my interaction with James while I supervised him on home arrest. He was staying at Church on the Street, which is a fantastic program, during the period of time when I supervised him. He did miss a UA, and one of the conditions was that he would be sent back to prison if he failed to provide a sample, and we did take him back into custody during that time. And he told me that he just, you know what, I forgot to call. It was my responsibility. He owned up to it. Do I think he was using any drugs or alcohol? In my heart of hearts, I don't believe he was. I think he just missed the UA as he told, and he knew the consequences, and he accepted ownership of it. He was granted another opportunity to come out onto home arrest, and that's when came back out to Church on the Street, and we supervised him again, and down the road he had no various substance abuse issues. When he was granted general parole, I know he had a large contingency from Church on the Street that spoke on his behalf, and I went into James a couple of times just doing interactions with other offenders and people on home arrest at Church on the Street after James has been granted general parole and was assigned to his current parole officer, and every interaction I had with him was always positive. And to this day, the last time I spoke with him, as a matter of fact, when he unfortunately had to arrest somebody over at Church on the Street, the last interaction I had with him, I mean, he apologizes for missing the UA and said, you know, I know you're just doing your job, and there's no hard feelings. He's done a lot of growing up. I will say to the board, though, that I am disappointed to hear of the positive UA recently. I've never known anybody to test positive by handling methamphetamines through absorption. However, you know, I don't know much about the circumstances, so I can't really speak on that, but I'm disappointed to hear that. However, when I supervise James, all my interactions have always been very positive with him, and like I said, I'm sure they'll continue to be. I greeted him today, shook his hand. We always had a very good relationship, and like I said, you know, I'm just providing this information just for background for you all.
We certainly appreciate it, but let me just make sure, because I just want to make sure. I've checked the records while sending your name initially, and I guess now I'm going back to probably when back to 14. He was granted home arrest, then he went to general parole, and that's where he is at this particular moment. I just want to make sure that I have that in order, sir. He was on home arrest at one point.
Yes, sir.
And then he went from home arrest to general parole, and that's where he is at this particular moment. And so now the board will make a decision whether he would go to absolute discharge.
Correct.
I just want to make sure, because his brother was not sure. I just want to make sure that I was sure. I was sure until his brother raised it, then I always want to make sure that I was sure. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Any questions for Officer Brogan? Hearing none, thank you. Well, we will ask the most distinguished parole officer. We'll get back to you later, sir. But parole officer, please, ma'am, come forward. Good to see you again. You don't come visit as much as you used to, but every so often you have to come by. So would you state your name for the record?
It's nice to see you all. My name is Sue Williams Hancock, and I'm the current parole officer.
Yes, ma'am. And so what do you want to tell the board this morning, ma'am?
I just wanted to tell you that I got a hold of the clerk of the court, and he has no restitution. There are no outstanding fines or fees. He has no cost of supervision that he is in arrears on. He's been at church on the street, so that hasn't been being charged him. He has always been cooperative and compliant and happy. And when he's on the street on Tuesdays and he's preaching to the traffic, I've stopped and said, James, go drop a UA. And he says, all right, I'll go right away. And he'll go right over and drop a UA. He's always been cooperative. He's always been honest. I've never felt like he was being deceitful with me. When he had the positive UA, I had the confirmation test done before I confronted him with it, because sometimes those are false positives. And it confirmed, yes, it was in the system. It was in the UA sample that was tested. And I went to him and said, hey, what do you want to do? They have to know about this. And so he said, oh, I want to go before the board and drop me more often. And so we have. He's been dropping more frequently. I just go stop him on the street saying, go drop. And we've had no more issues. I've had no issues. He's always been compliant.
Thank you so very much. Any questions, board members? Yes, Honorable Mr. Johnson.
So I'm just trying to go back through and pull out the record. I thought it said he tested positive for amphetamines, not methamphetamine.
No, it was. It did, the confirmation test did say
methamphetamine.
Okay. Thank you. Any further
questions? Yes, Honorable Mr. Kowalis. Yes, I think the other parole officer already stated this, that absorption is just not a...
And I can't address that. I absolutely can't. I'm not an expert. It was in the urine sample that was collected. There was some doubt in my mind as to whether or not there was some confusion at the lab, because I usually have a second job too, and I drop at that lab sometimes when I'm asked to drop a UA. And so I thought there was a possibility that there was an error in handling from me to the lab, as in the testing process. And so human error is always a possibility, but the confirmation test confirmed that was in that UA sample. And there are some drugs that you can absorb through the skin. One that they're lacing the opiates with now, that they're lacing the heroin with, that one absorbs through your skin, and you can die from absorption through the skin. Some of them do. I can't address this intelligently. I don't know this.
No, thank you. I certainly know that some drugs can be absorbed through the skin too. I wasn't sure about methamphetamine, and it seemed like there was a significant amount. I find it curious because it's not his drug history. Like he admits openly that he used to have abuse or addiction with crack cocaine. I just find it curious, period. You know, it's head tilting to me because he otherwise seems like that he's been very compliant.
And I was open to the possibility that someone put it in something, but they don't even smoke at church on the street. So it's not like it could have been laced in a cigarette, because he doesn't do that. And so I was willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. I've never had him lie to me, but the test is the test.
Jeff, thank you, ma'am, and I appreciate your candor.
Thank you. Further questions? There are no further questions from board members. Thank you so very much for coming, and good to see you again. Thank you. Okay. Please come back up, sir. We're coming towards the end of your hearing at this time. Is there anything else you want to tell the board without repeating yourself before the board goes into discussion and makes its determination today, sir?
No, it's not.
Okay, well, thank you, sir, and please have a seat again, sir. Okay, board members, Mr. Johnson, we're now going into, the board is now getting ready, preparing to go into discussion. May sound like we're talking to you, but we're not. We're just talking among the power of us. And following this discussion, the board will make this decision publicly, as we always do under the open meeting law. The board is now in discussion. Is there any board member wish to lead off the discussion? Not, I will just make a few comments, and then I will speak on my behalf and not on behalf of any board member. Okay. I want to, first of all, commend Mr. Johnson for all the great work that Mr. James E. Johnson, because we have too many Johnsons here, and for the progress that he's made since the board saw fit to grant him home arrest and then place him on the general parole. And I want to commend him and for the progress that he's made. As far as I can tell, major negative that we have is the methamphetamine situation. This is something that it's always, that can always be a question regarding that particular situation. That's a question that, was it something that he was using at that time? Was it something that got into his system? Was it something that somebody else slipped to him? We just don't know. But I think what I do see, just by looking at the records, and that's all that I can go on, are the records that we have, prior to this positive methamphetamine one, which would have been held on September the 11th of 2017. And thereafter, as Officer Hancock has indicated, that they've increased the number of UAs, and we've not found anything since then. But we have to make a decision today whether to grant him absolute discharge. And I think that we have to wait or two, and I guess at the moment I'm just looking at his previous history and his history since September, and I'm leaning towards grand, but that's not a quote that I would like to hear what other board members might say based on their review of the records and what is transpired in this hearing today. In a further discussion. Yes, ma'am. The honorable board, Ms. Rittenhouse.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I look at Mr. Johnson's history, all of the what he's done in the past 4 years, testimony of both his parole officers. The UA does concern me a little bit, but in the overall situation, if you look at everything in the situation, given his incredible support that he's got a good job, he's part of a family, a church family, I don't see that there's any reason for us to think that this man is going to commit a crime and be a danger to the community. I think he'll do a better job being free in the community or be better off that way for all of us.
Thank you very much. Yes, ma'am. Honorable Mr. Gowardis, do you have anything you want to offer, sir?
I would like to echo what the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse just stated, and should this board vote for absolute discharge, I just hope that his community has his back, because people are still vulnerable when they have past addictions, or people, say that they're an alcoholic for the rest of their life, or that I'm an addict for the rest of their life. So I would just hope that his community has his back, but I am certainly open to absolute discharge.
Thank you. I think I'll go to another. Mr. Neal, anything you want to offer on this one, sir? Okay, well, the Honorable Mr. Johnson.
Doctor, I agree. I just hope that Mr. Johnson can continue to serve as a role model. We hear many people coming for this board that look forward to going to church on the street because there are role models, there are people that he can talk to, but he can serve as a role model, not only on a faith base, but he can serve as a role model of, you know, what he's done. He's gone back, he's been violated, and he can serve to show that when you think positive, you do positive. You work with a positive sense of thinking of what you can accomplish. I'm very impressed with the gentleman who came up and spoke to talk about, you know, them being best friends and what a big change that is from the prison life and incarceration, where there is a huge separation in there because of the prison life, and that, you know, the role models of two people getting together and being able to show that could have a huge impact and influence on other people actually coming through the system. And the fact that he's been up, he's been down, he's been up, he's been down, his presence could serve as a role model when you continue to stick with the program. I was impressed that he was violated for missing the UA, and it didn't appear that, according to the Mr. Pogue, his officer Pogue, he didn't really object to it. He said, "I missed it, and you know, I know the consequences of missing it, but you know, there was no indication prior or after that he was actually doing drugs. He missed it, he knew the consequences." And so that just tells me and makes me feel as though when he talked to people, he talks to them about the consequences of what their actions are, you know, whether they did it or not, but the consequences of following the rules and being held accountable for a violation of the simple rules. So I think he would serve as an excellent role model for those coming through the system and those that he's able to labor to outside of the ministry.
Thank you so very much, sir. And with that being said, I don't think I'll make any further comments at this time. I'm just going to offer a motion, see where I go. And my motion is to grant Mr. James D. Johnson, ADC number 034559, absolute discharge. And that is my motion, to grant absolute discharge.
Second.
Agree. Motion by myself, seconded by Mr. Rittenhouse, agreed by Mr. Johnson, Mr. Neal, and Mr. Kawinis. So the board has voted unanimously to grant you absolute discharge. That is 4-11. Sir, we wish you the best, Mr. Johnson. I'm just going to say this, something that just came to mind as one of my colleagues was speaking, I believe it was Mr. Kawinis, who said that it's very important. And I'm looking at Pastor Walkman and the rest of the people from church on the street and his brothers, that you make sure that he does not make a mistake again. We do not wish to see him in the criminal justice system again. Because if he makes that mistake, and we all are subject to making mistakes, but if he makes that mistake and he ends up incarcerated again, that's going to be a reflection on the family, these wonderful brothers that we have here. It's going to be a reflection on that great program, the Church on the Street, which has a great reputation. We know that sometimes a few people slip in, we all not to be there, but it has a great reputation, and we just don't want to see that reputation tarnished. And that would also be something negative for the parole officers, for the citizens of Arizona, and I just hope, well, just don't want to make it personal, but for this board, if you should slip up. So we want to ask, we can't demand, but we want to ask, Church on the Street, watch him. We're going to ask the brothers, Deacon, brothers, to watch him and make sure that he's successful. We wish you the best, sir. Good luck. And I will say this, since it's been brought up before, may God be with you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.